Turn to Isaiah 58. That's where we shall begin. Isaiah 58. We're still looking at this part of the fasting series, God's chosen fast. And in Isaiah 58, let's read verses 6, 7, and 8. He says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, when thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward." Now, we've taken a look at this at verses 6 and 7 fairly well. And we're going to begin taking a look at verse 8 now. And this is interesting the way that this is written, verses 6, 7, and 8. Imagine, if you will, say a chart. And there's a heading at the top of the chart, and underneath it, underneath the heading, are two columns. Alright? Now the heading at the top is verse 6. Because verse 6, if you remember now, is dealing primarily with the junk in my life. Me dealing with me to get me in order. Then verse 7 is a result of verse 6 as far as my ability to minister to other people. So primarily verse 7 is talking about what I do to other people that is a result of verse 6. But then verse 8, in a manner of speaking, is also, well, there's no manner of speaking about it. Verse 8 is also a result of verse 6. And so up at the top of our two-column chart, we have verse 6. He says, fast. Deal with the junk in your life fast. Here's a way to do it. Now, there are two areas that are going to benefit as far as you're concerned. One area is this column right here, verse 7. It's how you deal with people. But the other area is verse 8. It's you. It's how you benefit. It's not just a matter of you verse sixing yourself, meaning dealing with the junk. But there are other things. See, if you look at verse 8, it says, "Then shall thy light break forth," so on and so forth. And if you just read verse 6, 7, and 8 in order, it can almost sound like verse 7 is a result of verse 6, and then verse 8 is a result of verse 7, and that's not true. Because you can do things described in verse 7, but that doesn't cause verse 8 to happen. Verse 8 happens at the same time verse 7 is happening, and both of them are a result of you doing verse 6. So he says, verse 6 yourself fast. Now I'm going to tell you two things that are going to happen in your life. One of those things is verse 7. The other thing that's going to happen is verse 8. Verse 8 is not a result of verse 7. Verse 8 is a result of verse 6 in the same way that verse 7 is a result of verse 6. I hope you're seeing this. It'd be impossible to see it if you're not looking at your Bible. Verse 7 and verse 8 are both a result of what you have done in verse 6. But it's like you can't say two things at one time, right? You can't pronounce four words all at the same time. It's one word. All right? You can only pronounce one thing at a time. So God's trying to get across to us here. He says, look, you do verse 6. You fast. And you're going to deal with the stuff in your life that needs to be dealt with. Now, when this is happening, the more stuff you're dealing with, you're going to see verse 7 come about. And at the same time, you're going to see verse 8 come about. But I couldn't put them there at the same place. I had to put one verse before the other because that's how you read things. But he's saying the result is going to be simultaneous. You're going to see verse 7 and verse 8 both begin taking place in your life as you do verse 6. Now let's look at verse 8. First thing he says is, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. All right, stop there, because that's the part we're going to look at. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. How many of you have ever been outside when the sun rose? All right, now think about this. You're outside, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, and the sky, it's starting to get a little bit brighter. But you don't see the sun, do you? There is some light there, but you don't see the sun. And this is especially, it has an even greater impact, say if you're standing on a coast, looking out across the water, all right? And so there you are. Any of you ever done that before? Been in that kind of a situation? Or it essentially could be the same thing if you're standing like on a very flat plane looking out. Well, anyhow, there you are. It's 5:30 in the morning and the sky is getting a little bit brighter, but yet there's still no sun. And so you know, you're looking straight across the bay or the ocean or the gulf or whatever it is, you're looking straight east and you're watching as the sky is getting a little bit brighter. Now there's light, and there's even enough light for you to read a book. And you can see cars, you can see things happening, but still there's no sun. And so you stand there and you're watching, and you're watching, and you're watching, and all of a sudden, boop, the sun pops up. Not the whole thing all at once, but the moment it comes up and begins to crest over that ridge, the light increases exponentially. You know, automatically there is more light. And the more the sun comes up over the horizon, the brighter and brighter it gets to the point where you can't even look at it anymore. You can't stare at it. It's so bright. Now, if you didn't know better, if you were very ignorant of scientific things, as you stand there and you look out across, it would appear as though everything is flat. Would it not? Well, didn't they believe that at one time? The world is flat, and if you sail too far, you're going to fall off the edge of the earth. They warned Columbus about that and many of the other explorers. And so as you stand there and you look out across, everything looks flat. Now, it would seem like the sun is below the end of that flat. I mean, over there on the edge, it's like the sun is down beneath that. And now remember, you don't know anything about science. You don't know, well, what is it that causes, it's holding the sun back? There's something that's holding it down, and then all of a sudden, there it is. Well, where did it come from? I don't know. But it comes up, and then it's like it travels across the sky, and then it goes back down underneath again. Something pulls it back down. And then the next morning, the process is repeated. It's like it's fighting to get free. And we begin to have a little bit of light early in the morning. But then all of a sudden, that moment comes when, bloop, it pops up. And I can see all of this light. It's so brilliant. It's so beautiful. This is what he's trying to describe here. He is saying at the beginning of verse 8, he says, then shall your light break forth. And that phrase, break forth, it doesn't mean just kind of a casual, like a dimmer switch. You know, you're just gradually increasing the volume of the light. He's saying your light is going to explode forth. It's like, yeah, you sense something is there, because if you didn't have light, it couldn't break forth. All right? So you know there's light there, but then all of a sudden, it's like, boom, there it is. Your light breaks forth. It explodes forth. It breaks free. And the image that break forth, think of it another way. What if somebody were in a room, and I'm sure you've probably seen things like this in a movie, and they want to get out of the room, but the door is shut and the door is locked. So they get back across the room and they take off running, and bam, they hit the door and they break through the door. That's the image that this phrase, break forth, is giving to us. He's saying your light is going to break forth. All right, now let's look at this. He says your light's going to break forth. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the what? It was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verses 6 and 7 are telling us that there was a man named John the Baptist. He came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name. Now he says that Jesus Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, he's talking back over there in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8, and he says, then shall your light spring forth. He's not just talking about somebody coming along and lighting some kind of a lantern, or today we might compare it to a flashlight. He's prophesying about the life that's on the inside of you because you've accepted Jesus Christ, and he's telling you, God's trying to tell you, that through fasting, it's going to cause the life that is in you, that's been deposited in you by God, to begin to spring forth. It's going to break forth. It's going to come forth out of you. It's in there, and you know it's in there because you're born again. And every now and then you get glimmers of this light. But he's saying that if you will give yourself over to fasting, that the life which is on the inside of you is going to break forth out of you. In other words, whatever it is that's holding the light from breaking forth now is going to be dealt with so that the light can break forth. And he says in this, he was not that light, verse 8, Jesus was the true light, and he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, anybody, Jew or Gentile, who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who believes in his name, it says he gives them power to become sons of God. Well, in verse 9, he said, he's the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In other words, every person that is born in this world, when they put their faith in Jesus Christ to be born again, it says he gives them the power to become or to be made the sons of God. Well, this power that he's talking about is this light or this life that Jesus had within himself. And he says, anybody who believes in him, Jesus takes this life and he passes it on to every single person who accepts him. Once we have received that life on the inside of us, it is that life or that power or the power of that life which causes us now to be able to claim sonship unto the Father. Because once we're born again and that life is deposited into us, like it says over in John chapter 5, as the Father hath life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. And the Son then passes that life on to us as we believe in him and accept him as our Lord and Savior. So the moment that we get born again, Jesus takes the life that's in him and he passes that life or that light unto us. We become born again and that qualifies us to be made or to become or to lay claim to literally being the offspring of God himself. Amen. The life that was in him was the light of men. In other words, if you don't go to him, then you do not have that light on the inside of you. And Isaiah says, your light shall spring forth, shall break forth, shall explode forth. Your light. In other words, this passage over there in Isaiah is an assumptive passage. It's written to Christians. Because if you're not a Christian, no matter how much you fast, there is no light that can break forth. And he's saying when you fast, your light is going to break forth. Now look in this. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And he says, everybody who accepts him, that light is passed on to them. Now turn over to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. Look at verse 28. It says, for thou wilt light my candle, for the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Now remember what he said over there in John, how that the life that was in Jesus was the light of men. The light was in the darkness comprehended it not. And he says, but this light, this life, is passed on to everyone who accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he says, thou wilt light my candle, for the Lord God will enlighten my darkness. Now look over in Proverbs chapter 20. In Proverbs chapter 20, take a look at verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And so Jesus had this light, this life on the inside of him. Everybody who accepts him as Savior, it says that our spirit, which is the candle of the Lord, he lights it. That light becomes our life. Now it says, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, what's one of the things that we have learned about fasting? Fasting enforces the positional truth of death upon the flesh. All right? Fasting enforces the positional truth of death upon the flesh. Here it says, you're going to light my candle. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Jesus lights that candle when I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And the light of that candle searches all the inward parts of the belly. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now remember, fasting enforces the positional truth of death upon the flesh. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our candle is lit with that life. In other words, we now have that light on the inside of us, and that light searches all the inward parts of the belly. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, take a look at verse 6. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now look at verse 9 again. When he says the fruit of the Spirit, he's not talking the fruit of the Holy Ghost. He's talking the fruit of your light would be a way to put it. The fruit of your new nature when you got born again. Now look in verse 9 or verse 8. It says, you were sometimes darkness. Notice he doesn't say you were sometimes in darkness. He says you were sometimes darkness, meaning formerly you had a sin nature. There was no light in that nature. And he said, you sometimes were darkness. You were sometimes darkness. Or at one time, you were darkness. But now, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the light of His life is in you. And because of that, you should live or walk as children of life, light, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now remember, it said over there in Proverbs that the candle searches the inward parts of the belly. Here it's telling us that as we walk in this light, that we're going to be able to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, let me just throw this in right here. A lot of people want to know, well, what is God's will for my life? I'm telling you now, fasting is a key to find out what God wants you to do. Because as you begin to give yourself to fasting, your light is going to begin to break forth. And as your light begins to break forth, you're going to be able to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. It's not just an issue of what is right and what is wrong. It's an issue of every single area of your life, understanding exactly what it is that God wants you to do. Now, he goes on in verse 11 and he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Now remember, in Proverbs it said that the candle, our spirit, once it's lit, it searches the inward part of the belly. Remember, fasting enforces the positional truth of death upon the flesh. Here he says, those things, essentially, I'll paraphrase it, those things which are sin, he said, reprove those things. And all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Or another way to put this is, the life that you've received from the Father through Jesus Christ, when you became born again, that life on the inside of you has caused His light to be inside of you. And the light on the inside of you is going to shine upon any darkness that's in there, any areas of sin, any areas of wrongdoing. And He says, it's because of that light shining upon that darkness, you're going to be able to understand what God does and does not want you to do. This is exactly what Paul was talking about when he was writing to the Jews and explaining to them how that if the Gentiles do by nature that which is of the law, then aren't they already circumcised? In other words, doesn't that count as circumcision for them? And what he was talking about, them doing by nature that which is of the law, he was saying, look, if they have a nature on the inside of them that is able to discern right and wrong, which is what the law exposed to man when it was written on stones. And he said, he's saying, doesn't that nature itself cause them to be considered as having been circumcised? Because they're living by nature what you had to live by that was written down on stones. And here God is saying, look, on the inside of you, you have this light. When this light is shining, or when you are walking in this light, you're going to be able to discern exactly what it is God wants you to do. And that light is going to shine upon any area of darkness that exists in your life. So you're going to know to get this junk out. Listen, if the light is shining to where you can understand it, you better believe God sees it too. If you walk into a room that's dark with a bunch of people and all of a sudden, you know, you flip on the light switch, are you the only one that sees the dirt? Everybody sees the dirt. And he's saying here, have no fellowship with sin. Walk in the light, and the light is going to shine on those areas of your life that God wants changed. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now look again in verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now look at the first few words of verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now turn over to Romans chapter 13. Keep that in mind and turn over to Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And, knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than what we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the what? The armor of light. And he goes on to say, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Fasting enforces the positional truth of death upon the flesh. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God. He turns around here in Romans and he tells us to put on the armor of light. In other words, the more that I begin to fast, the more that my light is going to break forth, meaning the more my light is breaking forth, the more I'm going to be clothed in the armor of God. And the more I'm clothed in the armor of God, the more I'm going to be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil and to do the things he says to stop doing there in Romans, where he said, you know, stop the sin, essentially. I'm going to be able to stop the stuff. The things in people's lives and Christians' lives that they don't feel like they can stop, he's giving you an answer to it right here. He says, if you fast, your light is going to spring forth, break forth, explode forth. And when that does, it's going to cause you to be clothed in the armor of God. You know, I've heard so much teaching about the armor of God, and people have taught, you know, when you get up in the morning, you go through these gyrations. You know, well, I'm putting on my, you know, my feet are being shod with peace, and now I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. Now I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And they literally go through these motions in the morning when they get up. Hey, don't believe it. That doesn't work. You may feel good because you did that, but that is not what causes you to put on the armor of God. What causes you to put on the armor of God is when you get closer and closer into the presence of Jesus Christ, and fasting is what causes His life, His light in you to break forth. And the more that your light is breaking forth, the more you're going to be clothed in the armor of God. And it's not something that you're going to have to put forth effort to do. It's something that is a byproduct of the fasting. People don't seem to understand that you can't do something in the natural to create a spiritual condition. Meaning, you can't go through a bunch of gyrations, you can't perform good works and say, this is what has caused God's armor to be on me. God says, no, you don't understand. Your spiritual armor is associated with your spiritual light, which is your spiritual life. And if you fast, enforcing the positional truth of death against the flesh, then what's going to happen is your light is going to break forth and you're going to find yourself clothed in the armor automatically. It is a no-brainer. Well, look over here in Romans chapter 8. Remember, he said, verse 6 in Isaiah 58, you fast. Verse 8, your light shall break forth. Meaning, your light increases because your flesh has decreased. Look what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the, not the Holy Ghost, but your born again spirit, if you, through your new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. It's not just a matter of you shall become alive. It's like what Jesus said, I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly. In essence, he's saying, if you, through the power of your new nature, enforce the positional truth of death upon the flesh, then what's going to happen is you're going to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised you. Because when you got born again and his light was deposited in you, the abundant life became resident inside of you. It's not that you go to God and you say, oh God, please, I want abundant life. Oh, please, Jesus, just give me this abundant life. He's up in heaven saying, What is wrong with you? You are born again. I have given you the light. The light, the life of the Father. It's already been released on the inside of you. Now it's a matter of how much of that light you walk in so that you see it manifesting in your life. And there's only one thing that can keep that light from breaking forth, and that is your flesh. Listen, the devil is not powerful enough to control the life of God that's on the inside of you. He can't suppress it. The only thing that can do that is the flesh. That's it. And he says, if you through the power of that life that is in you do enforce the positional truth of death upon the flesh, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to have the abundant life manifest that's been resident inside you all along. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now remember, he's not talking walk in the Holy Ghost. He's saying you walk, just go back and take a look at all the verses that we've seen to this point, and you will see walk in the light. You will see walk in the Spirit. You will see living in this light. Now he says, if you walk in the Spirit, or walk or live according to your new nature, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember what it said over there in these other places, how that when this light springs forth, you're going to be able to see clearly because of the light of your life shining on the inside of you. You're going to see clearly what God does and does not want you to do. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, live according to your new nature, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If ye through your new nature do enforce the positional truth of death or mortify the flesh, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Please let this sink in for a moment. He says, if you walk according to your light, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What's that tell you? Well, it tells me that if I'm continuing to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, I'm not walking according to my light. Because he said, if you live according to that life, you will not. It's almost as though he's saying, when you walk or live according to the nature that God has placed on the inside of you, it no longer becomes, oh, do I sin? Oh, do I not sin? Oh, do I sin? Oh, I don't know. I know I shouldn't do this, but, oh, I just... He says, it doesn't even get to that point because you're living according to the power of the life that God has released on the inside of you. And he says, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't do it. It's not a maybe you will and maybe you won't. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. He's saying you won't do it. You won't do it. Let me put it another way. You will live on this earth a sinless life. Oh, but Brother Martin, you know better than that. Why, everybody's got a sin now and then. No, he says. What's he saying here? He says, if you walk in the Spirit, if you live according to your new nature, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He's telling you how to live a sinless life. Live according to who you became in Jesus Christ. Well, that's easier said than done. Isaiah 58, verses 6, 7, and 8. If you verse 6 yourself, you will see verse 8 manifest. Your light shall break forth. You see, you can't lose. These are guaranteed things. God said His word won't return void. That means God has established a spiritual principle for the ages. If you verse 6 yourself fast, then verse 8, your light shall break forth. And when your light breaks forth, the more of that light that breaks forth, you're going to get to the point you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is an excellent reason why fasting should be taught in churches more than what it is. And we're learning more and more and more why Satan has fought this so hard. Quite honestly, it's almost like he's fought this as hard as he's fought speaking in tongues. When you begin to understand what happens as a result of fasting, I mean, boy, it's like he's been able to hide it under a blanket and we didn't even know it was there. And now all of a sudden, we go through Scripture and we see these things. It's like, wow, there must be something to this. We'll look further here in Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then in verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh, or let's put it this way, the manifested lusts, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. The lusts are there. And he says, you won't fulfill it. It doesn't mean, see, folks, even Jesus was tempted to commit sin, but he didn't. All right. In other words, the opportunity was there, but he never did it. He's not saying you'll never face opportunities to sin. He's saying you just won't do it. It's just going to be a byproduct of living. You just won't do it. It's there, but you won't do it. And then he says in verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, or when the lust, remember over in James, it talks about when lust is conceived and it brings forth and so forth. Well, this is kind of a variation on that same theme. The lust, or it's there, and he says, but when you give into it and you begin to perform the works, or when you begin to fulfill the lust of the flesh, things are going to happen, and I'll give you a list beginning in verse 19. He said, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verses 19, 20, and 21, he's talking about what happens when you fulfill the lust of the flesh. You may do some, you may do one or two, you might do them all. We don't know. But he's telling you this is the manifestation of fulfilled lusts of the flesh. Then in the very next verse, 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, where did we see this before? Over in Romans chapter 13, fruit of the Spirit. But now we get a more complete or a lengthier list. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, in verse 22, where he says the fruit of the Spirit, he's not saying it's the fruit of the Holy Ghost. It is the fruit of your new nature. He's drawing a comparison here. Back over in verse 16, he said, live according to your new nature, or walk in the Spirit. Or another way is, live according to verses 22 and 23. If you are living or walking in the Spirit, verses 22 and 23 will be manifest in your life. But if you are fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, then verses 19, 20, and 21 are going to be manifest in your life. And he said, but if you make a choice to live according to your new nature, then what's going to happen is you're going to manifest verses 22 and 23. You're not going to manifest verses 19, 20, and 21. And Isaiah 58 says, verse 8 there, it tells us that our light is going to break forth. Another way to look at that would be verses 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter 5 are going to break forth in your life. All of this is going to begin to be demonstrated in greater and greater measure through you. And see, it's not, I know so many, have you ever heard people talk about things like this? I'm just trying so hard to walk in love. I'm just trying so hard to walk in meekness. I'm just trying, and they go through parts of this list. I'm trying so hard to do this. Stop trying. Stop trying. See, when you say, well, I'm trying to do this, in other words, it's not springing forth. It's not breaking forth. In other words, there's something holding it back. And God has said, if you Isaiah 58:6 yourself, Isaiah 58:8 is going to happen automatically, and you don't have to try. It just happens. It's just going to be there because Galatians 5:22 and 23 are a part of your light. Another way to look at this is Galatians 5, 22 and 23 would be a partial description of the light that is in you. And so when you fast and you're enforcing that positional truth of death, you're mortifying the flesh, enforcing that mortification. He says, you're going to see Galatians 5, 22 and 23 just happen. And you don't have to work at it. He's going to say, you will walk in the Spirit. You'll begin to walk in the light as He is in the light. See? And you don't have to work at it. And this is where we've missed it so much in the body of Christ. Folks come with problems. Well, I'm trying this. I can't quit that. Do this thing over here and all that. And so many times we tell them, well, just press in there. Just keep working at it. I mean, you'll get control over this thing. And so what we do is, now get this, what we do is we direct people to focus on their problem. And we're not directing them to focus on the solution. And we keep telling, I thank God for all these drug programs that are out there and these awareness programs and these help programs and so forth. But one of the, pardon my English, God awfulest things in the world is to tell somebody that's born again that they're a recovering alcoholic. Now, brother, you know the program says, I know what the program says. What does the Word say? See, the Word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And as long as you keep going around reinforcing, I'm a recovering dope addict, I'm a recovering alcoholic, I'm a recovering porno addict, in other words, what you're declaring is, Jesus has not yet set me free. And I'm still struggling in this area, and every now and then I slip and I fall, and every now and then I give in to this thing, and every now and then, you know, I succumb to the temptation. Well, you know, we've got the help groups, and we've got the therapy groups. I'm talking in the churches now, all right? In the churches. Christians that get together and talk about all this stuff. You know, my name is Bob, and I'm messed up on pornography. Yay, Bob! I fail this week. Well, Bob, you got to just hang in there. You just got to trust Jesus. You just got to... And those things are good. It's good. But do you understand? That's like telling people to focus on your problem. Everybody get together and talk about how bad your problems are. Now, please don't misunderstand me. If that's all people have, that's all people have. But what I'm telling you is this. God's Word has an answer that brings about permanent change. Permanent change. Because when you're born again, God doesn't look down on you and say, you're still a recovering drug addict. He doesn't look down on you and say, you're still a recovering porno addict. He doesn't look down on you and say, you're still a recovering alcoholic. God looks down on you and says, my Son set you free. You're free from this stuff. And now He's telling us what to do to cause our light to break forth so that we will live. See, again, this is so important to understand. It's not an issue of how hard I try to please God. And again, that's another area where we've messed up in the body of Christ. Trying to tell people how hard they have to work to try and please God. No, it's not a matter of trying so hard to please God. It's simply a matter of what He says right in here. Fasting. All right, since we're talking about fasting. If you fast, it's not because God wants you to go hungry. He's trying to get you to understand if you will fast, your light will break forth. It can't not happen. See, it's impossible for this to not happen. That's just like, when you were a kid, did you ever take Nestle's Quick and make yourself chocolate milk? Okay, now let me ask you something. When you open that can and you put your spoon in there and got you a big pile of brown powder and you put it in an icy cold glass of milk and you began to stir it up, what did you end up with? Chocolate milk. Did you not? In other words, it was impossible not to end up with chocolate milk if you took the brown powder and put it in the white milk and stirred it up. It was going to happen. And you could stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, no chocolate milk. In the name of Jesus, no chocolate milk. The whole time you're stirring. And you're still going to end up with chocolate milk. All right? It's impossible to have it any other way. God is saying, if you fast, your light is going to break forth. And it is impossible for it to be any other way. And that's why, folks, you know, if you were to share a message like this with some people, especially if you haven't already laid the foundation of all these other messages, some people would say, well, Brother Martin, that all sounds really good, and, oh, I just appreciate that message, but you know, you just gotta do this, and you gotta try that, and gotta go in for counseling, and gotta go in for... Look, all those things serve a purpose, but God's telling you here in His Word what it will take to walk according to your new nature and not give in to the lust of the flesh ever, 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 period. See, there are no excuses. When we stand before God, especially those of us that have heard these messages, when we stand before God and He says, how come you kept doing, you know, whatever? Oh, God, you know, I just tried. You know, I took the mail order course on how to stop this, and I went to the counseling sessions. I went and I talked to the pastor, and he laid hands on me and prayed. And I got tinglies all up and down my spine. God, I really worked hard at that, but I just couldn't stop. He said, well, why not? Oh, God, I just couldn't stop. Well, why not? Well, God, what do you mean, why not? You're God, you should know this. He says, yeah, I know the answer, but I'm trying to get you to come up with the answer before I say it to you and embarrass you. Why not? Now, at that moment, you're going to know that the answer is because I didn't want to bad enough. Because He has given us the answer in His Word. And it would really be best for you just to fess up right at that moment. Well, God, you're right. It's because I really didn't want to bad enough. As opposed to standing there and playing dumb. Especially when He knows everything and He knows you're playing dumb. And have Him have to look at you and say, it was because you didn't want to. And then what are you going to do? Lie? Oh, God, I did. Really? Judgment Day is going to be very interesting. Look back over in Isaiah 58. No, I'll tell you what. Look in Isaiah 58. Turn back over there. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. He is using a natural example to get across a spiritual truth. Just like in the morning. I don't care if you go out there 365 days a year. Barring no clouds now, you can stand on that shore and every single day the sun's going to pop up. Oh, you'll see some light prior to that, but the moment that sun pops up, there's going to be this increase of light. Instantly, increase. And He's saying it's going to happen. Every single day it happens without fail. To the unscientific mind, whatever it was that was holding the sun down from cresting over the horizon was suddenly released, and no longer was the sun hidden. I could see some of the results of the sun, which is exactly the way it is with anybody who's born again. You can see some of the results of being born again. I mean, they don't have to pray in tongues. You can see a result of somebody who's born again. All right? That it's just part of being born again. Those things will happen. So we can see some light, but he is talking about the power of the light that's been deposited on the inside of you breaking forth so that now the only thing, see, you know when the sun comes up over the horizon? Have you ever been out there and you've seen like birds fly or a boat on the water? When that sun pops up, if that boat happens to be right in between you and the sun, you're not going to see that boat anymore because the brilliance of the light of the sun washes over that boat completely. You ever seen that happen? It's so bright, the only thing you can see is the sun. And you can't really even see that boat anymore unless you put on like really good sunglasses or something to filter out some of those rays. When your light breaks forth, the only thing that's going to be seen is the life of Jesus. That's all. The life of Jesus. Now, he says, the beginning part of this verse 8, it's guaranteed. It will happen no matter what you think, no matter what you believe. God says, you do verse 6, you're going to see verse 8. It happens. No matter what you believe, it will happen. If you're on the horizon and it's flat and that sun comes up, you're going to see it fairly soon, rapidly. I mean, it'll be there quickly. But let's say that you're 20 miles down the road and it's not flat. It's just like little hills. It's going to take a little bit longer for that sun to come up, isn't it? Let's say you're another 20 miles down the road and hills are a little bit bigger. Well, it's going to take a little bit longer for that sun to come up. And Mr. Big Hill might be looking, you know, talking on his cell phone to Mr. Flat Plain and say, boy, you know, I should be glad when the sun comes up. And Mr. Flat Plain's going to say, what are you talking about, man? I can't, I mean, it's blinding out here. It's so bright. The sun is so bright. And Mr. Big Hill is saying, well, hey, listen, I mean, I can see the rays up in the sky, but there's no sun. I don't see any sun. And then you go another 20, 30 miles down the road and you got some mountains. And Mr. Mountain is going to be waiting quite a while, isn't he? But you know what? Mr. Flat Plain, Mr. Low Hill, Mr. Big Hill, and Mr. Mountain, every single one of them are going to see the sun pop up. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. It just takes one a little bit longer than it does the other, but every single one of them are going to see if they stay there long enough and keep looking. They're going to see it. It doesn't matter if you've got a little problem, a little flesh, flat flesh, big flesh, or mountain flesh. God says, if you will fast and enforce the positional truth of death upon your flesh, you are guaranteed to see the light of your life break through and it can't be stopped. Some of those problems, it may take a little more fasting than others. Some of the things that you didn't know were in there, your fasting begins to cause that light to break forth. And the more the light breaks forth, the more that you begin to see how much more fasting you need to do because it's illuminating some things that need to be dealt with. But you cannot change God's word. Your light is guaranteed to break forth no matter what. It's going to happen if you do verse 6. And fast. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll go ahead and stand.